Can I invite you back to Luke chapter 1, please? We have entitled our message this morning, God of Impossibilities. God of Impossibilities. Let's just unite our hearts together as we come to the preaching of God's Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for this congregation. We bless Thee, Lord, for even the singing of the hymns of Zion this morning. And oh God, we pray the Holy Spirit would descend upon our hearts as we come around Thy Word. Lord, that Thou, Holy Spirit, would be Your teacher and teach us more of the things of Christ. We do, Lord, commit the congregation into Thy keeping. Lord, even as they would pray over this ballot and this decision to be made, bless the Reverend Johnson as well as he would seek Thy face. And, O God, together may they see great things even happen in the days that lie ahead. We do look to Thee, O God, to come. Meet with us, Lord. Help us this morning especially. Fill me with Thy Spirit and with power that I might preach as thus and thus saith the Lord. For we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. The final words of anyone are important and worthy of notice. Not least when they're spoken by an angelic being and one who introduces himself as from coming from the presence of God and sent to declare a message of glad tidings. That was what Zacharias had experienced as Gabriel had come to him and told of how his wife, who was barren and a wife who was on in years now, was going to have a son and that his name would be called John. He would be a Spirit-filled preacher who would turn many unto the Lord. You know, men and women, sadly, Zacharias was unbelieving. And therefore he asked the question in verse 18, wherefore shall I know this? Now that isn't merely astonishment. That's sheer unbelief. Inasmuch as to say that the word of God through Gabriel wasn't enough. And thus for the best part of the next 9 months, Zacharias was rendered dumb and he was rendered speechless, as was verified by Gabriel in the words of verse 20. Thankfully, that wasn't the response of Mary when she had a similar visit by the same angelic being. For it was Gabriel who had come to her 3 months later to tell of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we have three other occasions in the scriptures which this angel is spoken of by name, we've already looked at one before Zacharias. The other two you'll find in the Old Testament where he speaks to Daniel. But this visit indeed to Mary is the last recorded one that we have. And how informative these words were to be as he speaks to her and reminded her that she was one highly favored of God, that God's presence would be with her, and that she would be blessed amongst women, and that she had no cause to fear or to be troubled by the message that she was to hear. The words of verse 29 indicate that there was surprise and there was fear at the manner of salutation that was been given by the angel. You see, we see it in verse 28. He said, "Hail." And that, men and women, was a very particular salutation. And Mary didn't expect such a salutation. It was something not even given by a person's own husband or wife. And hence, naturally, Mary didn't know what to expect or what was going to follow. But what is clear is that even though this young woman who came from a remote place called Nazareth, yet she was one whom the Lord singled out for a special task. She is an illustration in many ways of what we read in 1 Corinthians 1, of whom the Lord is pleased to use the weak things and the base things of this world and the things that are despised. But what that task was, she was about to be told. And the last recorded words of the angel Gabriel are the basis of my text this morning, as you find them in verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The God of impossibilities. I want you to notice firstly the announcement. That which Gabriel came to tell Mary was the announcement that the faithful had been waiting for centuries to come. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had sinned and disobeyed God, and God came with the promise of the seed of the woman, and that seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, there was the anticipation and there was the expectation of this promise being fulfilled. Promise of the Messiah. And then, woman, this announcement has to do with the Messiah. And it was something that Mary understood, for she was to hear the words, for example, of verse 32, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. That's verse 33. Verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He will be great. Great in his person. This was the God-man. Great in his offices as prophet, as priest, and as king. He would be great in his word and in his deed. He would be a great savior. He would be the author of a great salvation. The miracles that he would wrought and the proofs of his deity and of his messiahship, they also would be great. What's more, he would be called the Son of the Highest. That is God, of course. As the name of the Most High is used by Melchizedek way back in the book of Genesis. As he gives praise to God for the deliverance that he enjoyed over his enemies through his servant Abraham. This is a title which could only be said of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could not be said of any other. While these words align him with God, they also align him with man, as he would be after the lineage of David. He would be given that kingdom not by men, but he'd be given that kingdom by God. God would set him upon his holy hill of Zion, and his kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. And Gabriel states it in verse 33, there shall be no end, and the day is yet coming, when all the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of Christ. It's unmistakably an announcement about the Messiah, who was promised of old and was now to be given. And Mary had a part to play in that giving. For I want you to notice the announcement is with regard to a miracle. Verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. The angel is to announce to Mary that she would be the vehicle through whom the Lord Jesus and the promised Messiah would come into this world. And that would be a miracle in many respects. In that God, in whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, yet he would confine himself into the womb of this woman, and he would take upon himself the form of a serpent, of a servant, and he would become our nature yet without sin. It would be a miracle that Christ, the eternal Son, would leave the realms of glory behind to be born into this world. That's why Isaiah can speak in such words as he does. A child being born and a son being given. He did not have his beginning at Bethlehem, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You'll notice that the angel Gabriel says in verse 35, that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. What an impossibility. Aye, what a miracle. Not least, it would be a miracle in that he would be conceived, carried, and born into this world by a woman who had never been in union with any man. Elizabeth may have been barren, and Elizabeth may have been on in years, but at least she had a husband. But verse 27 reveals to us that Mary was merely a spouse to Joseph. There was an agreement that they would be married in some time to come, but they were not so as yet. And thus what the angel was announcing was something that was humanly impossible. For one to be born, there needs to be that union in a biological sense. But with the birth of the Messiah and the incarnation of the Lord, this would not be the case. For he would not inherit any of man's sin. The devil would have nothing in him. And he would be virgin born, as the scriptures state. He did no sin. There was no guile to be found in his mouth. His coming would be a miracle. But how could this be? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I want you to notice that when this announcement is made, there's the means spoken about. And Mary needed to hear these words. No, men and women, the Lord knows what we need before we ask Him. Don't forget that. And Mary's hearing this announcement and this miracle. And she needs to hear more. And with Mary being asked to believe something that was, from a human perspective, impossible, there's a query in her mind. You look at it, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How shall this be? Her inquiry is not of unbelief as it was with Zacharias, but it is one of inquiring about the means by which this would happen and this would take place. What she was being told was beyond human possibility, and so she is desiring to know by what means this promised birth would take place. How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. The answer that she received was to show that it was beyond human possibility, except by the working and by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Gabriel reveals in his answer in verse 35, the young angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. The Holy Ghost was to empower her. The Holy Ghost would envelop her. The Holy Ghost would come upon her. And the outworking of that would be miraculous. Let's take that thought a little further. For such is the outcome when the Holy Ghost is said to come in revival. Isn't that right? Human possibilities were overturned. That which seemed to be impossible is seen now to take place. And you think how any soul is born again and made right with God. You think of the worst of a sinner in the eyes of this world, and suddenly they're changed. They cannot be wrought by any preacher. That cannot be worked out by any church. But it's the same power. And it's the same work of the Spirit that has to take place, as the Savior revealed to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Dear child of God, you look out on your own town today. Or maybe you have in your heart some loved one this morning. And maybe there's countless souls that you see passing by, and they're careless to the things of God, and have no inclination ever to be found in the house of God. And you might be forgiven in thinking that it's impossible that they would ever be saved. It's impossible, preacher. I know them, and you don't. Yes, that might be right. So did Ezekiel. And you remember Ezekiel? As he was brought in that vision to look upon the dry bones in that valley. And he was asked the question, can these bones live? And all that he could answer in reply was, Lord, thou knowest. And he was to preach unto them. And there was a coming together, bone to its bone. Flesh. And over the sinews and over the bones. And it's all there. But there's still no life in them. That was until he was commanded to preach unto the wind to come upon them. And the Spirit of God breathed upon them so that they lived and they stood up as a great enemy army. Can these bones live in Newton Arch? Can these bones live in your home? In your family circle, in your eyes, and maybe in mine, it's impossible. But listen, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Because men and women, that's the means by which we can yet see God at work through His Word. It's not by might, it's not by power. It's with my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The means whereby this miracle would take place would be by the Holy Ghost. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Not only do you see the announcement, but you see the encouragement. Mary was encouraged as she heard this announcement to believe what she was being told. And that encouragement comes in the form of our text and the last recorded words of Gabriel. You'll understand that the words of our text is not the first and only time in which we find them in the Scriptures. Here is an encouragement. Because, dear people, here's a verse or similar that is repeated in other places. Now you come with me. For example, to Matthew chapter 19. And there the Savior is found speaking to his disciples and how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It comes on the back of the rich young ruler. Remember, the rich young ruler came running to the Savior and he wanted to know what he must do to have eternal life. And he was an upright young man. He kept all the commandments from his youth. But yet there was one thing he lacked. And being told of that he had a covetous heart to give up his possessions, he does not follow the Savior. But he goes away sorrowful, for great was his possessions and he would not give them up. And the disciples, in the light of that, and they heard it all, they're heard to ask the Savior, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? With man it is impossible for a rich man to be saved. You see what the Savior answers in verse 26? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With man it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. There's our text repeated. And you go to the last chapter but one of Matthew's Gospel. And you have a rich man. And he's called Joseph of Arimathea. And we read that he was a disciple of the Lord. And he was to ask for the body of Jesus so that he might prepare it for burial. You see, men and women, God is able to save the sinner regardless of their monetary standing in the eyes of this world. The rich or the poor. The same words of our text are also echoed again in Mark's Gospel chapter 9. And this time the Savior was confronted by a boy who was possessed by an evil spirit. And while the disciples could not cast him out, the Savior said those words in verse 23 to his father. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible for the one who believes God's word. And the words of Gabriel are that encouragement because they've been repeated. God speaketh once, twice, yet man perceiveth. But these words were an encouragement because in the context there is a reflection. You notice the first word of my text? It says for. And that little word begs you to go back. And to go back into the previous verse. And verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. There's the instance in the life of Elizabeth. And the angel is saying to Mary that if God can cause Elizabeth to be with child, who before was barren and who was old, then with God nothing is impossible. And she, Mary, is encouraged to reflect on that. On what God has already done. And dear child of God, when things may seem impossible, then just consider those things that God has already done for you in the past. Reflect upon the blessings that he has bestowed upon your life and that he has saved you. That's a miracle. For like every one of us, you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Your heart, your will, your mind, your being was inclined towards sin and away from God. You were the children of wrath, even as others, serving the old devil and the lust thereof. But God, who is rich in mercy, he reached down by his matchless grace, and he lifted you up, and he placed you in Christ. You're justified by faith. You're redeemed with the precious blood this morning. You couldn't do anything of yourself or for yourself, but God did it for you. And if God did that for a sinner like you and saved you from an eternal hell and is keeping you by his grace, then be encouraged, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I don't know many in the congregation. Thank God I know some of you. And I've had the privilege of working along some of the men in some of the meetings. But maybe I'm preaching to someone this morning. You've got a husband. Or a wife, that matter. And she's not saved. And you don't know how you can live for God before them. The Lord can give you the grace. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Maybe you're facing this Christmas time without that dear soulmate. God has taken them home to glory to be with himself. And you don't know how you will get through it. And you don't know how you're going to get into the new year. Let me tell you something. God will help you. He's not finished with you yet. You have still a work to do. For with God nothing shall be impossible. You see that difficult situation in your workplace? How you can keep your testimony before that scorner and before that blasphemer? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. There's encouragement. There's encouragement because of the reason. And the reason that Gabriel gives is the power of God. Let me read the rest of verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see the word impossible there? An inner text, I mean. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That comes from the same word as power. From where we get our word dynamite from. It could be read like this. The Holy Ghost has told her these things in verse 35. He's given her the example even of Elizabeth, her cousin, in verse 36. And it could be read like this in verse 37 in her text. For with God, God is not without power. That's how it could be read. God is not without power. With God, there's no lack of power, as there is with us. There's no frailty with the Lord. There's no impotence with God. You know, sometimes today I believe that boys with round collars on, they present some grandfather-type figure that's impotent and can't do anything and needs your help. That's not the God of the Scriptures. He's a God who is all-powerful. And Gabriel brings it to Mary here. With God, he's not without power. He is the Almighty. And with his Spirit, when his Spirit is at work, then there is power. And the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary would cause her to be with child, and she would bring forth that holy thing. Only the unbounded, unlimited power of God could cause that to happen. And men and women, that's the same powerful God that we worship this morning. And his Holy Spirit is yet able to come in such power upon his people. Indeed, we would say, that is what is needed today on this heart of mine. That's what is needed today through our churches. That's what's needed today through our land. And you know, the Lord has given us every encouragement.
For he said in Acts 1 and verse 8, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Men and women, don't miss out praying that God, by His Spirit, would infill you every day. And don't miss it here, that the working of God's Spirit always causes holiness, as is revealed in verse 35. Therefore shall that holy thing which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. That's a good test, by the way, today. Whether a thing that is ascribed to God's Spirit in these days is really from the Lord at all. If it's not holy, if it doesn't cause holiness, it's not of God. For the working of God, the Holy Spirit, always brings forth holiness. And that's the encouragement that Mary received. I trust it is encouragement to you and I this morning as well. Let me show you, finally, the accomplishment. For with Gabriel having given the message that he was to deliver, the response of Mary is commendable. The words of my text maybe are the last words, of course, of Gabriel, but they're not the last words in the passage. For if you look at the words of verse 38, the next verse, you'll see there's faith on her part. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And that must not have been easy for her to say, but with that submission on her part, there could have been endangerment of her having a blemished reputation. There could have been an estrangement from Joseph, and there could have been even death itself, for in those days adulterers were stoned. But there's faith. Be it unto me according to thy word. And she submits to the word that she has heard. Men and women, therein lies the secret of seeing things accomplished which may seem impossible in our sight. It is resting on the promises that God has given in His Word. Mary just believed. And for the sinner, that is what you must do for salvation when God says in John 3 and 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." You must believe when the Lord says unto you, invitation in the gospel, "Come unto me all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's God's word. You must have faith, you must believe what God has said. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what the Christian must do. When God says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," you rest in that. When the Lord states, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," when God doesn't answer your prayer in the manner in which you thought He would answer. That was the case with the Apostle Paul, but you know, God gave him a better answer. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And when the assurance is given, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Believer, you've just got to rest in that. And in every other promise that He has given you from His Word. Are you resting? And the promises of God. You see, the accomplishment that sees the problem of man's heart dealt with is not impossible with God either. He's able to change the heart. He's able to give the sinner a new heart. And He says, "A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. There is no heart that is too hard for the Lord, for with God nothing shall be impossible." He has but to speak the word, and it shall be done. Let me quote to you Jesse Rylands. I think it's good. He commented, "There is no sin too black and bad to be pardoned. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. There is no heart too hard and wicked to be changed. The heart of stone can be made a heart of flesh. There is no work too hard for a believer to do. We may do all things through Christ strengthening us. There's no trial too hard to be borne. The grace of God is sufficient for us. There's no promise too great to be fulfilled. Christ's words never pass away, and what He has promised, He is able to perform. There is no difficulty too great for a believer to overcome. When God is for us, who will be against us? The mountain shall become a plain. End of quote. I think that's good. The sinner is able to be a possessor of eternal life because of the accomplishment of Christ and His work of atonement. The Savior came. He came, yes, to the manger. But He came that He might go to the cross. And He might purchase eternal life through His death. How can fallen man, deserving only of the wrath and the judgment of God for their sin in a lost eternity, how can they have instead eternal life? He can't by anything of himself. But with God, nothing shall be impossible, for Christ hath died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who also maketh intercession for us. Dear unsaved loved one this morning, you can have eternal life now. Now. All because of Christ. He was virgin born. He lived a righteous life, and He died in an atoning death as a sinner's substitute, dying in our guilty room instead, and He finished the work that the Father gave Him to do, and God was satisfied. And thereby He is just, for He hasn't turned a blind eye to your sin. He's punished it in Christ, and He is the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Listen, you can have eternal life now ere you leave this house if you're not saved. Why? Because of the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I wonder, will you come this morning if you're not saved? I trust you will. I trust the Lord will bless His word to each of our hearts.